The Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast with your host, Jackie Pilosoff.
No one should have to go through a divorce feeling alone and isolated. The Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast is a production of Divorced Girl Smiling, where every show is 30 minutes aimed to empower you, help you feel validated and understood, and connect you with some of the best divorce professionals in the industry. So grab a cup of coffee or a glass of wine and start smiling as you join us right now for the Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast. Heard everywhere podcasts can be found and always at divorcedgirlsmiling.com. Before we get started, I want to talk about three things that divorcing women are prone to, myself included, when I was going through a divorce: fear, doubt, and self-sabotage. And I wish that back then I would have had the opportunity to work with a divorce coach to help me with these emotions, to help get me back on track, and to help me get a life that I really loved. It took me so much longer to try to do it by myself. So if you're looking for a wonderful divorce coach, I would highly recommend Michelle Heffron. She's a divorce coach and life strategist. Michelle wholeheartedly enjoys assisting people with various life challenges. Her natural gravitation towards divorce coaching stems from personal experience and the countless lives she's touched throughout her lifetime. So if you want to learn more about Michelle, you can find her at michelleheffron.com. I also want to take a minute and talk about a wonderful financial planning firm called Vestor Capital. So the people that I work with at Vestor, I've been a client for 8 or 9 years, and I work with Elaine Moss and Pete Mullins, a team of financial advisors. Pete is a CDFA. Elaine and Pete have worked together for, I think, 10 years. Elaine has been with the company for 20 years. And I cannot say enough about the service that they provide and the performance of my portfolio. So I cannot recommend them enough. They're wonderful, wonderful. So if you want to learn more, you can find them at VestorCapital.com. And you can find both Vestor and Michelle Heffron in the Trusted Professional section of Divorced Girl Smiling. So one question that I get asked by so many divorced people is, should I really do this? And it's probably the hardest decision, or one of the hardest decisions you're ever going to make in your life. I remember when I was getting divorced, I went back and forth like 50 times before I actually felt like divorce was the better choice. You know, it's not something you take lightly. It's not something you come to a conclusion on in a week or a month or maybe even a year. So it's just a devastating decision to have to make. But did you know that there is something you and your spouse can do to help you answer that question? And I never even knew about this till a few years ago. It's called discernment counseling. It's not couples therapy. It's not what can we do to work on our relationship to make sure that it works and we're happy. It's, should we get divorced or should we try to work on this? And to talk about discernment counseling with me today is my guest, Erin Burt. Erin is a divorce attorney, a mediator, and the founder of her practice, Burt Family Law Restorative Divorce. Erin has been a divorce attorney for 20 years. And I'm so excited to have you here, Erin, and I am really excited for this conversation.
Well, thanks, Jackie, for having me. And likewise, I think it's great that you're spreading the word about discernment counseling, because not a lot of people know about it as an option.
I agree. And do you agree with me that most people go back and forth and it's an agonizing decision whether or not to get divorced?
Absolutely. At least at my firm, the trend seems to be it can take people perhaps 3 or 4 contacts with our firm before they even make a decision. And even when they make a decision, they might not have clarity about what their spouse is thinking or what their spouse wants to do. So it's hard enough for just the individual that's thinking of pursuing divorce to get information, to reach out for information or help. And then you have that added hurdle of, well, what is my partner or my spouse thinking at this time? And so people will take their time and go back and forth between, do I want to do this? Do I not want to do this? Do I have enough information to do this? And then just the general fear of what does it all mean?
And what to expect.
Right.
So I briefly told my listeners what discernment counseling is, but you do discernment counseling, correct?
Well, I actually am an attorney trained in discernment counseling. And so I do discernment counseling assessments, and then I can provide them with local discernment counselors that will actually handle that process to either, if they decide to divorce, make the divorce process more reasonable. But I'm trained as an attorney to provide an assessment to gauge a potential client's attitude towards divorce or their readiness for divorce. And if they need more help or more clarity as to what their path is, I then provide them either with the website, I believe it's discernmentcounseling.com, that you can find providers, that mental health providers that actually are trained in discernment counseling to help you find clarity about your path.
Okay, did not know that. But if you're trained in discernment counseling, you can answer this question. What goes on in these sessions? Like, give my listeners a glimpse of what happens when you go to discernment counseling.
Yeah, it's a brief intervention, if you will. This is not a long-term commitment that you might be feeling if you're going to couples therapy, for instance. Discernment counseling is very specific in its role, and it can be anywhere from 1 to 5 sessions. And it is something that couples at every session recommit to if they want to come back. So it's not to put pressure on perhaps a spouse that is leaning in and wants to stay in the marriage. And it's also not putting pressure on that spouse that's maybe leaning out and thinking about ending the marriage. The commitment is, let's go once, let's vet some questions about our relationship, let's try to find some, again, clarity about our path forward. And then do we want to commit to another session? Most discernment counselors, Jackie, don't go beyond 5 or 6 sessions. At that point, for whatever reason, perhaps the couple need other resources to really decide what's best or address what might be going on within the relationship. But if they're there for discernment counseling, it could be 1 session, it could be 2 sessions, and they come up with a plan with the help of the discernment counselor. And there's generally 3 options. Do we want to maintain the status quo? And if that's what we're doing, what does that look like for our family? Do we want a trial separation for 3 to 6 months? And then you put discernment counseling on hold for 3 to 6 months and see how that works out. Or do we come to the conclusion that our path is divorce? And then you might spend a session with the counselor to talk about what does that look like? And what does it look like for each individual? What does it look like for the family? What are their goals for the divorce process? And then they will follow one of those 3 paths after they have decided in discernment counseling what the next step is.
Or there's the path of reconciliation. You might say, you know what? And maybe the discernment counseling will say, you know, I see a lot of people. It seems to me, in my opinion, that you might be able to work this out, right? I mean, I don't know. I've never been to discernment counseling. So
yeah, it can be. And there's actually, I've had a few couples in the past 12 months that actually have reconciled, that they found discernment counseling helpful to not put the puzzle pieces back together, but to lead them down that path. And then they went back to couples therapy to work on the reconciliation of the marriage. And so I've had several couples in the last 12 months that they were on that brink of divorce, and they went to discernment counseling, and they realized the marriage can take work and I'm willing to do that. And then they, you know, diverted back into couples therapy, and I haven't heard from them since. So that path seems to have been the right choice for them.
And when you go back into couples counseling after discernment counseling, I bet it's a whole new ball game, because now your mind is open and you've already gone down this path of divorce and chosen the commitment to stay together.
Absolutely.
You know, or if you go to discernment counseling and you decide divorce is the best path, then at least you're not going to have as many doubts and maybe no regrets because you've already done so much work to make sure, ensure that you're doing the right thing.
That's right. And you've actually done it together with the other person. So if you do pursue divorce, you eliminate some of that high conflict where you might be, you know, faced with kind of bringing the other spouse along for the ride, which can really drastically change your divorce process. It becomes increasingly frustrating for all involved. It's drawn out. It's very long. It can become highly contested very quickly because you've got one spouse leading the charge, if you will, and you have the other spouse that's just reluctant to do anything and might be dragging their feet. But with couples that come from discernment counseling that choose to divorce, you're starting off at the same starting point. You don't have somebody sprinting well ahead emotionally. You're both at the same start line saying, this is the next step. And it's a difficult step and it's a hard step, but we both acknowledge this is the next step. And those couples stay out of court more. Those couples are able to resolve a majority of their differences in a much better manner than traditional litigation or just having somebody who's absolutely not prepared emotionally or even realizing that's on the radar, that divorce is there. So the couples that I've worked with at post-discernment counseling, they have a much more reasonable process for divorce.
You're listening to the Divorced Girl Smiling podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff, and I'm your host. And today we are talking about discernment counseling. Is it right for you? My guest is divorce attorney and mediator Aaron Burt. Aaron is a Chicago-based divorce attorney but mediates all over the country. Aaron and I are going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the role of the discernment counselor, key principles of discernment counseling, more benefits of discernment counseling, and we're going to answer the question, is discernment counseling right for your family? We'll be right back. Are you going through a high conflict divorce? Do you feel like your divorce is very complex, where there's a lot of high assets and a lot of complex issues? If so, I want to recommend the law firm of Katz & Steffani. They are a highly regarded, well-respected firm that's been around since 2008. And I can't say enough about how much I trust them and how wonderful their team of lawyers is. If you want to learn more about Katz & Steffani, you can find them at katzstefani.com. I also want to take a minute and talk about a wonderful divorce attorney in New York and Connecticut. Her name is Catherine Miller. I've now known Catherine for probably close to 5 years. She's really a leader in the field. She's compassionate. She's smart. She's experienced. She's so dedicated. So if you need a consult, she's a great person to talk to. And to learn more about Catherine Miller and her firm, Miller Law Group, you can go to miller-law.com. Welcome back to the Divorced Girl Smiling podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff, and I'm your host. I'm here today with divorce attorney and divorce mediator Aaron Burt. Aaron is the founder of Burt Family Law Restorative Divorce. She's been a divorce attorney for 20 years. She works out of Chicago, but mediates all over the country. And today, Aaron and I are talking about discernment counseling. Okay, Aaron, first of all, one benefit, I want to get into the benefits of discernment counseling, but you just named one of them right before the break. You're going to have a better divorce if you end up going to discernment counseling first because you're communicating. Nobody feels like it was sprung upon them or done anything behind their back. You came to this decision together. So right off the bat, that's a benefit of discernment counseling. What are some other benefits?
Well, you know, within that, I think there's a sense of empowerment that also happens to both couples, that they're both a part of the process. They're both a part of that communication structure where they're trying to determine the best way forward. And they're also in an environment in discernment counseling where you know, they can explore options without the pressure of making immediate decisions. You know, sometimes when you go to a divorce attorney's office, that might be the first time somebody's experiencing the legal system and they're feeling overwhelmed with emotion or just being nervous. And they might feel, I need to make a decision right now. And some, unfortunately, some divorce attorneys want you to sign a petition before you leave their office. And so you're faced with making an immediate decision about something that's very emotional. But in discernment counseling, you have a bit of power that you can control the process a bit more. And neither person needs to make an immediate decision. You're there specifically to work on what is the best path forward. How can we discuss our concerns about our relationship? How can we discuss the benefits of our relationship? And how do we discuss the divorce process without feeling pressured about it? And I think that all of that in a nutshell is what is a great benefit of discernment counseling, being able to be in that safe environment without undue pressure to decide what's right for your family and your relationship is the ultimate benefit of discernment counseling.
Okay, now what is the role of the discernment counselor? What are they doing in the sessions?
So the discernment counselor really is raising the awareness of, again, what it might look like for the couples if they were to move forward, either reconciling, divorcing, or taking a trial separation. The discernment counselor is not there to make a diagnosis. They're not there for really any therapeutic goals. They are there specifically to provide the couple with a safe, neutral, and time-controlled environment. It's not this ongoing, let's see what's wrong, let's come up with some tasks to make everything right. It's truly a safe environment where effectively they're like a neutral, and they are guiding these people to communicate about problems that have arisen, but not providing a solution for those problems, just how do we adequately address those problems? And then talking about their goals for the future. And so the therapist, again, they're not making a diagnosis to either party. They are not there to address any type of impairment between the couples. It's purely to provide them with that safe environment to communicate, to discuss their goals and discuss their concerns. And also, again, to let them know there's an end in sight. They will always talk about, the discernment counselor should always raise with the couple, we're going to commit to this on an appointment by appointment basis. You're not trapped in this situation. If you're not finding clarity, then perhaps, you know, there's a referral for something else that you can explore. But it really is a short-term commitment, but a very specific commitment to find out the best path forward.
Okay, but does the discernment counselor at the end of the session or session one, two, or three say, it is my opinion that you should get divorced, or they never give their opinion and they're helping the couple come to that conclusion themselves?
They're helping them come to the conclusion themselves. So they're not giving an assessment, nor are they providing any type of assessments. They do not offer their opinion that you should get divorced. If the couple comes to that conclusion, they will then provide them with referrals to either discernment counseling trained attorneys or other trusted attorneys that are going to meet the expressed goals of the clients. And so there is a level of a trusted network even within discernment counseling, so that you know if that is the decision that you make, you are going to most likely meet then with a divorce professional that understands discernment counseling and is understanding that you both have reached this decision and it's most likely going to be an uncontested divorce, if you will. So again, the discernment counselor really isn't there to say which way they should go, unless, Jackie, unless there is something that is expressed that's extremely troubling to the counselor and they might make referrals to other mental health professionals to address that. But otherwise, they're really not there to make a recommendation. They're there to facilitate the conversation and help the couple decide what path and the terms and the conditions of whatever they decide. They'll also help the couple come up with an agreement as to how to move forward. So they'll start talking about the terms of reconciliation. the terms of a trial separation or the expectations of their divorce process. So they do help them develop an agreement, if you will, about any choice they make about the future of their relationship.
I'm just loving this process. I think it's very, very helpful in so many ways. Okay, you wrote here some key principles of discernment counseling. So it has a non-blaming approach. Tell me about that.
Yeah, the non-blaming approach, which, you know, in the divorce world is something that is prevalent, but in discernment counseling, it's not accepted. That is where the discernment counselor is coming in to say, you know, we're not here to address all of the wrongs in the relationship. We're here to identify them, but we're not here to blame each other for them. We're here to acknowledge them and to move on from them. And so there might be some, you know, uncomfortable discussions, but there really should not be any finger pointing or blaming during this process. Because again, discernment counseling really isn't about fixing your problems and concerns. It's about identifying them and figuring out the best way forward after we acknowledge the problems and concerns.
Okay, next principle of discernment counseling, respect for autonomy.
Absolutely, because they make their own decisions. You know, they are not being served with a petition for dissolution of marriage and then just having to go along with this process. Both parties are able to sit there and talk about what would it look like if we're going to get divorced. A lot of clients that don't go through discernment counseling, they might never have that type of clarity or that type of conversation. Somebody makes a decision, they move forward, they hire an attorney, and there might not even be any more communication between the couple. But in discernment counseling, they're able to have a voice. They're able to make decisions about, can we reconcile? Can we try for 6 months or 3 months for a separation before somebody goes ahead and takes what can be perceived as an aggressive step, just filing that petition for a dissolution of marriage and seeing how things work out. They get to address things early and work on them early and have a say in what the path or process looks like. So there is more of a sense of autonomy and decision-making responsibilities in discernment counseling than there is if somebody just files for divorce and there's no more communication.
Well, I think a lot of times people don't want to get divorced because they're afraid, they don't know what to expect. So another benefit of discernment counseling is now you're getting into this discussion and it's not so intimidating to you because you know what the plans forward are going to be if you decide to get divorced. Now suddenly, okay, I can handle this. It's not going to be easy, but at least I know what to expect. And that makes people make that decision. And so I really think there's huge benefits of this. I want to ask you a question about a scenario in which discernment counseling might be beneficial. So I get a lot of emails and messages from readers of Divorce Girl Smiling podcast listeners saying, I want a divorce, but my husband doesn't. Do you think these types of couples would benefit from discernment counseling and why?
Those are the textbook explanation of couples that should seek discernment counseling. And when you have one person whose attitude towards divorce is open and willing, whose readiness for divorce is, I'm currently ready for divorce, but you have somebody else who perhaps never believed in divorce, never thought it would happen to them, and their readiness is very low because it could be that fear factor, it could be fear of the unknown, it could just be, again, their attitude towards divorce is, I never thought this would happen to me. When you have that wide of a spectrum between two people in a marriage, that is actually the perfect spot for when discernment counseling can be helpful. Because you will talk about, if the path is divorce, that there will be decisions to be made if you have children. There will be, you know, financial documents you have to disclose. And so it takes a little bit of that fear of the unknown out of it, or that fear of talking to an attorney, or the fear of just even having to go to court. you'll explore those things in discernment counseling, because there's also an education aspect to discernment counseling when you're starting to talk about what are we going to do here. But I would say in that scenario, Jackie, that is the perfect couple for discernment counseling. When you have somebody that just does not know what to do or might not even be aware the other person is very ready for a divorce. So I think that would be a great couple to refer.
Okay, that's what I was thinking, because a lot of times the other spouse doesn't want anything to do with talking or about divorce, or they won't even consider it because they're afraid of the process. Deep down, they probably want it too. It's never going to be one-sided where one person is blissfully happy and the other person wants a divorce. That doesn't happen. So I guess what I heard from you, Erin, is that the reason why these people aren't on board is because they're not educated about it. They're intimidated by it. It's fear. And discernment counseling will help them get to that same level of, okay, yeah, maybe we should get divorced and here's what to expect. And now I'm on board.
Yeah. And it's a stepping stone, Jackie. Like you said, it's not as intimidating as saying, my attorney will send you a letter explaining everything, or let's meet with a mediator to discuss our divorce. I mean, that sounds aggressive as well, right? Somebody's already made a decision about divorce. But I have found that when a client reaches out to me, they're ready for divorce. Their spouse is either ambivalent, saying yes, no, or just they haven't had the conversation yet at all. I do recommend discernment counseling under those circumstances, because it is a less intimidating approach. People are more inclined to say, okay, I'll explore that. I don't want to do couples therapy and I don't want to get divorced. But if there's somebody that can help us talk about just our relationship and I only have to commit to one meeting, most people will sign up for that. Most people won't sign up for, we need to go see, you know, a divorce or a couples therapist for the next 6 months.
Right.
That's overwhelming. Right. But if you can get the foot in the door and say, I can commit to one meeting, say on a Tuesday night, it's much less intimidating. But once they get in the door and they're able to, you know, discuss their relationship, my experience is that people will then commit to at least another session to still explore what's going on really in my marriage. What is my spouse thinking? And is this now making me think, yeah, this, you know, it might be right for us to separate or to divorce. So I just think that having a less intimidating approach, but also having a resource to allow these people to learn more before they make a big leap or before they make a big commitment to altering their entire lifestyle is hugely beneficial.
I love it. And I was thinking, tell me if you think this is true. Discernment counseling is almost like a precursor to mediation, you know, because it's all about communicating, even though you're not trying to work out the marriage. Well, in discernment counseling, you might come to the conclusion that you should stay together. But if you get divorced, it's almost like you're already starting mediation.
Yeah. It, you know, discernment counselors use a very similar skill set to neutral mediators. And it is. It's a great way to explain it. It is almost that first step before mediation. And mediation can help you with whatever route you're choosing. I've mediated reconciliation plans for couples just so that they're on the same page. And I've also clearly mediated divorce arrangements for couples. But it's familiarity. If they're going through discernment counseling and they realize that that person is a neutral facilitating communication, and then they come to mediation, it's a familiar environment because, again, it's not as aggressive as lawyers or the court system. And so those people, they have a higher chance of success getting through this both emotionally and financially because they're already comfortable. They started the process. Mediation is very similar. And so, yeah, a lot of people do segue into then mediation because it's a very similar process.
I love this. Erin, can you believe we're already out of time?
No, there's so much to talk about it, but I'm glad that you're raising the awareness about it, Jackie.
Well, I'm so passionate about it because I do think it is one of the most difficult decisions a person can make in life. And if they can get help and it's one or two or three sessions, why not try it? What would the hurt be? So, Erin, thank you so much for taking time to be on the show. I really appreciate it. And tell my listeners where they can find you. If you liked what you heard and you want to talk to Erin about if you should contact a discernment counselor, or if you already think you want to get divorced and you want to talk to her about mediation or representing you or both, where can they reach you, Erin?
They can find me at burtlaw.com. They can also give me a call at 630-891-2478. And if they're still uncertain about what they want to do, I can also provide them with a discernment counseling assessment that they can do at home online. And that can help, again, raise their awareness about discernment counseling and about where they're at about their readiness to divorce.
Well, thank you again. Love the work you're doing, and I really appreciate you taking the time to do this.
Thanks, Jackie.
And to my listeners, if you want to find trusted, vetted divorce professionals, including Erin, or listen to more podcasts, or read articles, or download my mobile app, or sign up for my free consult, come see me at divorcedgirlsmiling.com. Thank you so much for listening, everyone, and we'll talk to you real soon.